Bowie, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
And again, brought to you by First Christian Church at 202 East 12th Avenue in Emporia, the church where you're always welcome.
This month, Lenten activities begin at First Christian Church. You're invited to attend our Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m. on February 14th. Come to a five-week soup supper and study entitled Soul Feast, an Invitation to the Christian Spiritual Life, on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. beginning February 22nd. Visit us at fccemporia.org and in worship at 12th and Market Streets every Sunday morning at 10:30. Come join us on the journey.
KVOE live and local. Good morning. It is 7:20. 14 degrees, a wind chill of minus one. And we're pleased to be joined in studio this morning by Emporia State Assistant Dean of Students for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Mr. Jason Brooks. Jason, good morning.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning to you.
How you doing today?
All is well. It's a little early for me. Usually I'm trying to get the kids out the house at this time, but, you know, the wife decided to go ahead and take care of that for me.
Well, we appreciate you carving out a couple of moments and venturing out in the cold here, too.
Yes, sir.
And on top of that, you got a big event here coming up here through the Office of Diversity and Inclusion that you really wanted to highlight, a special lecture coming up Thursday night.
Yes, sir. This upcoming Thursday, Thursday evening at Albert Taylor Hall at 6 o'clock p.m., we will be hosting our Social Justice and Equity lecture featuring Dr. Joy DeGeary of Portland State, Oregon. She will be coming in to do a lecture on post-traumatic slave syndrome.
What exactly is post-traumatic slave syndrome? For those that missed our talk of Emporia on Friday, what exactly is that and how expansive has that been over the decades and even centuries?
PTSS is the condition that exists of the consequences of multi-generational oppression of Africans and the descendants resulting from centuries of slavery. A form of slavery which was predicated on the beliefs that African Americans were inherently and genetically inferior to whites. So to kind of give you more of a layman's term of it, it's really more about the mental health and the mental components, the emotional components of what's been happening from generation to generation to generation to generation from the time slavery started. So if dad was sold, mom was assaulted and taken somewhere else, and the kids were given away or sold itself, what happened to the mental health component? You know, at that particular time, there were no mental health counselors. And what has technically aspired, you know, from grandmother, great-grandmother to great-grandmother to great-grandmother to great-grandmother and so on. And so she's going to come in and start talking about the mental health components of that and the generational effects of that.
It sounds like it's been quite some time before this has really been a focal point, I guess, in the education community, not just with you know, the education side of things, but also maybe trying to find some solutions for this. Is that a fair statement that it's taken quite some time for this to become an active research topic?
She's been doing this particular research for the last 12 years, but I think it's probably been a little bit more harder for underrepresented populations to really take hold of the message. For those within the African-American community, and I'm sure within those in the Latino community and some of the other underrepresented communities, and probably in some of our white families as well, across the listening area and within the United States, is that what goes on at home stays in the house, and you're not necessarily supposed to be seeking help when it deals with mental illness or emotional help. And so this particular lecture will be encouraging not only those within the listening area, but everybody who's within the voice of Dr. Joy to if you need help and you need assistance, go seek mental health counseling.
What about Dr. Joy's background?
Dr. Joy's background, she actually has a bachelor's in speech communication from Portland State, a degree in a master's in social work from Portland State, a master's in clinical psychology from Pacific University, and then in 2001 she finished her PhD in social work and social research at Portland State University.
Okay, this is coming up on Thursday. This free, open to the public as well?
Absolutely. We want every seat in Albert Taylor Hall to be filled. We actually have folks coming all the way in from Wichita and Topeka to actually witness Dr. Joy in her lecture itself.
Great.
And on top of that, too, she's going to be pretty busy in addition to the lecture here coming up Thursday morning.
Absolutely. Thursday morning from 9 to 11 in the Preston Family Room in the Union, Dr. Joy will be giving a two-hour workshop to community professionals who focus on mental health or have some type of component that deals with mental health. So we'll be working directly with the Lyon County Sheriff's Department, Emporia Police, the Emporia State Police, Newman's Regional Health, Crosswinds, USD 253, even the Topeka Public School Superintendent will be coming down. I'm not sure whether it's in the morning or the evening, but she'll be there.
And we're talking with ESU Assistant Dean of Students for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Jason Brooks with us here this morning. Jason, let's talk just a minute about the diversity efforts at ESU. A lot has been put into this the past couple of years. What kind of progress is being made? Are you on the right path?
We are on the right path. Anytime that you try to implement such a large 25-page plan into a culture of, that's been going on for 150-plus years, it's a little challenging. And so we dropped the plan, or we implemented the plan last February 1 or 2nd, around that time. And so we used the rest of the spring of 2016 and the majority of the fall of 2017 and the fall of 2017 to start developing how are we going to actually start implementing this plan? And so we're starting to actually start seeing stuff come to fruition starting this spring. And so I think that not only the university community, but also the community as a whole, Emporia, will start to see massive changes happening when it deals with diversity and equity on the ESU's campus.
What are some of the things that you'd like to see happen, here, not only on campus, but maybe off?
Currently, what we're working on from an enrollment management standpoint is that we're doing a diversity leadership summit on March 8th. And our hopes is that we'll be able to bring in underrepresented populations. It doesn't matter the race, but it also includes sexual orientation and abilities or disabilities itself to Emporia State. High school students ranging from freshmen to seniors. In the past, we've always kind of divided it out into our Black Leadership Conference and our Latino Leadership Conference, but we decided to go ahead and just combine it and just make it a large diversity one. And so at this point, we're looking to host between 400 to 500 prospective Hornets at Emporia State come March 8th.
That leads me into my next question. You mentioned that the large diversity effort that's ongoing at Emporia State University. How has this overall, Jason, been received by the student body at Emporia State?
I think the student body is, it's been received well, and I think they're probably to the point where they're like, we want to see more. What's going on? What's happening? And so in any particular organization, it takes a little while for us to get all of the ducks in a row for us to be able to push some of these initiatives through. But we definitely want to make sure that once we're pushing them through, that it's right and done right. We don't want to rush it. So we just want to make sure that everything's done decently and in order.
Big ventures,
yeah,
and even small measures, really, to help with this
yes,
out.
Sir.
You talked here on Talk of Emporia back last week about one of those, which I think probably caught a lot of people off guard. One of those smaller ventures that is going to help an awful lot down the road.
Oh, yeah. Starting February 12th, we will have Anthony Brown from Against All Odds Barber and Salon from Junction City. He will be actually cutting hair here Mondays and Tuesdays for the greater community of Emporia and for Emporia State University. We are taking care of the logistics in the background, but everybody will still be responsible for their own haircuts. But he specializes in African-American hair, Latino hair. Our international students that come from all the way around the world will be able to get his haircut because he's very diverse. He actually has a cosmetology license instead of a barber's license.
Okay.
But 98% of his clientele are men, technically.
And I bring that up because this is one of those things where we're so focused sometimes on the large picture that the students basically said, hey, look, you know, this is what we need. Some of these smaller things that a lot of people, I think, probably didn't expect.
Absolutely. For years, and I've grown up in Emporia, so this has been just kind of second nature to me to have to drive to Topeka or Junction City or Wichita or Lawrence just to get a haircut for somebody who specializes in my type of grade of hair. And so for this to be offered to the students, it's a big up, and we've already received so much feedback from students already saying, thank you, it's about time. And it's not really about time, it's more on thank you to somebody in the community who's willing to step out and to make this initiative come to fruition, because students are needing this, and technically the majority of our underrepresented populations need this as well.
Outstanding. Well, again, give us the details on the lecture coming up.
All right. This Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m., Albert Taylor Hall, Dr. Joyce DeGeary will be giving a presentation on post-traumatic slave syndrome. It is free and open to the public. Please come out. Bring your cell phones, tweet, Snapchat, Instagram about it. It doesn't matter. We want as many people in the seats as possible to get this, what I call professional development. It doesn't have to be necessarily related to your work, but it could be definitely related to your life.
Good stuff coming up Thursday, Albert Taylor Hall. Jason, hey, thanks for coming in this morning. We appreciate your time. As always.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Jason Brooks, who's the ESU Assistant Dean of Students for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, joining us on our Newsmaker segment this morning. Chuck?
All right, and if you'd like to be part of our Newsmaker slot this week, we only have Thursdays left now on the calendar. And if you're looking out towards next week, we only have Thursday and Friday, the 15th and 16th, available. So jump on, give us a call, 342-1400. Use the Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply text line at 620-342-5863. Scott Thomas joining us tomorrow morning during our Newsmaker slot as we talk about the Boy Scout Troop number 157 Pancake Feed this upcoming coming Saturday.
And our Newsmaker brought to you this morning by the First Christian Church at 202 East 12th in Emporia. The First Christian Church, the church where you are always welcome. KVOE Live and Local 729, 14 degrees, wind chill of minus one. Stay tuned. We'll check the weather next.
The Flint Hills area chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is having their 27th annual banquet and auction Saturday, February 10th at the Anderson Building on the Lyon County Fairgrounds. Doors open at 5, dinner at 7, and the auction begins at 8. There will be several guns, outstanding wildlife prints, as well as several premium hunting items and home decor. All proceeds go to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, supporting state and national wildlife habitat projects. For advance tickets, call Don Cook at 344-7450 or Steve Ewing at 344-5030.
Griffin Real Estate and Auction is hosting an auction of 80 acres of Flint Hills grassland Thursday, February 8th, 7 p.m. at the Hampton Inn Conference Room in Emporia. The pasture land has three ponds, good access, and is located 3 miles south of Admire on Highway 99. Go to KVOE.com for details.
Don't miss the excitement of Emporia State baseball and softball. Purchase your season tickets now. Take a